July 2nd, 2018. It's about 8:35 in the morning. I just wanted to get a few notes down this morning before I get on my to-do list. I was listening to a couple of my previous recordings over the last couple days, and I think the title I'm going to choose for this particular set of notes, it's going to be focused on the delicate balance, but I'm taking a little bit different approach to it, I believe, in this particular set of notes. I was exploring a concept that I kept kind of stumbling over when I was reviewing my previous notes, which is quantum entanglement. And I was trying to reconcile how, you know, I keep thinking about the modeling of the teams and the tribal level. So the tribe is what I would refer to as close connections, and then the team is what I would refer to at the level of loose associations. So in the connect the dots, that's the conceptual standard of measure, that's the choice of first magnitude, that's the standard references, the standards, the principles and priorities that our lives revolve around. And when individual participants share common views, in other words, when they have commonality in their vision and their values, then in some respect it creates a correlation between them. It's what I call close connections. They're closely connected. And oftentimes they're projecting similar recurring patterns because of their views, because of their vision, and the values that the principles and priorities that their lives revolve around. So that's the conceptual side as above. Then the actors on the stage who act, you know, that's really what it comes down to. You know, I kind of kept coming across this concept of occasion, and based on that concept, occasion, and again, this is the jigsaw puzzle. This is the stage that our intentions are played out on. So what I realized was, you know, part of this, the occasion, is also the concept of correlation. And I was trying to figure out how I could simply and easily help others to understand how and why I'm connecting occasion with correlation. And the thing that struck me, funny, was lightning and thunder. So basically, correlation is when one occurs, something else occurs, and it repeats itself over and over again. So every time you see lightning, it's followed by hearing thunder. So that's a correlation. And so one event is associated or connected to the other event. You see lightning, you know there's going to be thunder. And then, so let's say, you know, blank slate, you know, someone who's never witnessed lightning or heard the thunder, let's say the first few times they realize, well, every time I see that flash, then I hear thunder. But then, let's say they have further experiences and they start to make another correlation. When the flash is bright, meaning when the flash happens closely to their, in close proximity to their position, then the lightning takes place. They witness or observe the lightning, and then very quickly after that, they hear the thunder. But then they notice that when the flash is further away, there's a delay between the flash and, by seeing the flash and then hearing the thunder, there's a delay. And they realize that the further away the lightning happens from them, takes place from them, the longer that delay is. So they could also theorize from their observations that the light travels faster than the sound. So again, this is how we gain knowledge and understanding of events, and a big part of that is correlation. So I was trying to understand both in the well, primarily in the abstract, with the connected dots modeling, the so occasioned. So I think the title Stand and Point is, this is really focused on that relationship of these standards that our lives revolve around and how they're correlated to one another. We understand that they're connected, that they're related. So, the one that I keep coming back to, and I'm sure if I searched further to come up with other examples, I could, but this is just one that always stands out to me. So, if someone, if I say to someone, I present an individual and I present them as a friend, then there is a connection or correlation to trust. And this all has to do with standards. And what I mean by that is I couldn't really. Okay, so if I use that label, that token, friend, then there's certain standards that must be met. What's that? Certain conditions must be satisfied in order for that individual to be to have that form of relationship with me. When I use that token, that label of friend, along with that, it's a sign and an indicator that it's also someone that I trust. Now, I may not say that during an introduction to someone else. So in other words, if I walked up to someone and I said, "Hey, Tom, this is John, and he's one of my friends. John, this is Tom." That would be more likely than me going up to Tom and saying, "Hey, Tom, this is John. John is someone I trust." But when I say that John is my friend, if they know anything about me, and I think this is the, about my standards, they would know that when I say John is my friend, I'm also indicating that John is someone that I trust, that I find trustworthy and honorable. So this is so as the wave function and the occasion, so basically it travels as a wave, it arrives as a particle. That's the physics side. That's kind of how it's worked out. On the metaphysical side, so all possibilities within the probability wave function, within the wave function, all possibility, all potential. But some potential, some possibility will become excited. Some will be reinforced, some will be diminished, some will be canceled out. And these are occasioned by the stand and point act. So if a circumstance, and this is again, this is occasion, if a circumstance presents itself and I have the chance, I have the option, I have the choice to be trustworthy, and I choose to be trustworthy. I engage in a trustworthy act, then I am standing and pointing to that standard reference. I am increasing, in some respects, by occasioning that act, I am increasing the magnitude of that standard reference. I'm reinforcing it. On the other hand, if I choose not to act honorably and trustworthy, then I diminish it. You teach best by example. So, the stage, the jigsaw puzzle, this is the stage that these acts, that the roles that we play and the acts that we engage in take place. But it's all guided by the conceptual. Everything begins as a thought and our choice. I can choose to reinforce or I can choose to diminish. I can choose to initiate. I can choose to excite and initiate, or I can choose to cancel out, to cast off. I talk about casting off a role. So, in my previous notes, I talked a little bit about the tribe and the team. And so I'm referring to the tribal level as the close connections. That's the abstract level. That's our view, that's an individual's view of the world, our vision of the world that we would like to live in, and the values that guide that vision. And then the team, that's the stage, that's the operational platform that we each engage in these acts. Once we've made the choice, then we act. We act. We play the role. We fill the role. We engage in our act. It's the performance. I mean, really, that's what it comes down to. The stage is where we perform. So, coming back now to where I started with these notes, it's to me, it really is about the delicate balance. Now, before I get into that too much, I want to very briefly say that one thing that struck me the other day about the connect the dots puzzle, and as you begin to draw the correlations, the lines between the dots, these references, these standard references, the picture emerges, the big picture emerges. What I realized was this was something that G. Spencer Brown had referred to, and I don't remember the exact language, but basically what he said was the knowledge, I can't remember what it said, but it said something about that what the individual is sharing is critical, meaning like the principles that are being shared are critical, but the order in which they're shared is somewhat arbitrary. And it reminded me of the connect the dots puzzle scheme, where the dots are numbered. And typically you could go from 1 to 40. Let's say there's 40 dots, and as you draw the dots, that's like you're using the sequence from the scheme from 1 to 40. But you could connect 40 to 39, and then next you could connect 27 to 28, and then you connect 2 to 3. And as you do this, you're still correlating the schema of the big picture. You're just not doing it in a sequential order. But as you continue to do that, the big picture will emerge. And I think that's kind of what I'm, in my whole approach all through this, I don't expect others to follow and make these correlations in sequential order. My hope is that by sharing the information and, I guess you could say perhaps acting somewhat as a guide, they'll start to make correlations in whatever arbitrary order that comes to them. But as they, if they continue to engage in the quest, as they progress, then the big picture will begin to emerge for them. So going on to the delicate balance, I don't really see, and I'm not looking at the good team and the bad team. I just don't see it that way. I mean, I think the magic, the delicate balance is where the magic happens. So, trolls are looking out for some interests. That's, they have motives for whatever it is that they're doing, just like the avatar, nature does. They have an agenda, they have motives, and some of that is protectionist, some of it is protecting their interests. So just off the top of my head, individual human rights versus class privilege, I think that those with initiative, those that apply themselves, should reap rewards from their efforts. So, do I think that it should be a completely level playing field and those who have no initiative and just basically ride the rides at the amusement park? Do I think that they should have the same, let's say, standard of living as someone who builds and maintains the ride? I would say no. But under the human rights, I would like to find a way to encourage those individuals to participate and contribute, even if they lack at some level initiative, because they're kind of being cheated. They're not, they lack the experiences of command performances and the joy of peak experiences, and I would, I would wish that they could experience that. But the human rights side of me, that's the one side of this, is I'd like to see them have shelter, food, clothing, the basic essentials that they can live. They can live a healthy and long life. Healthcare, education, I would wish them to have that. But On the other hand, for class privilege, we're talking about, in this case, not a socioeconomic class, more of a participation, a class of participation, those who have initiative and those who are contributing in ways far above the base. In other words, they're engaged in creative expression, whether that's through innovation, invention, building, medical research. It doesn't really matter, but do I would want that class to receive some benefit, some reward for their efforts. And I think that's kind of where, I think the socialist side of the socioeconomic systems, that formulation kind of let we, kind of let the people down, the participants down. You do want that class to be rewarded for their efforts. So again, I think it's this delicate balance. Let's just not let the gap become ridiculous between the haves and the have-nots. That's, I think, the point that I would wish to make to others. But there's some things that no one's really talking about that we need to start, in my opinion, that I suspect that we need to start looking at. And some of that's population, some of it's overconsumption, some of it is being good stewards of our host, the Earth. I mean, there's so many areas that we could be focusing on and making true strides, but we have these human conflict between, the people who put greed ahead of all those other concerns would not have those other concerns become a prominent focus. That doesn't serve their agenda. So anyway, I think that's pretty much all I wanted to get done. Just trying to get this organized to where when I sit down in front of the to make my presentations, to author my presentations, I can do it in a somewhat clear and concise and condensed, Reader's Digest condensed manner, because I want to hold them to 10 minutes. But again, it's just about little glimpses just to spark an interest. That's really all I'm hoping to accomplish. Signing off.